Scripture for today's message is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. As Paul is writing this epistle to Timothy, he's a young minister that Paul's going to send out to deliver the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And he's trying to encourage Timothy to be strengthened in what he has known and what he will know through his relationship with the Lord. So Paul writes, 1 Timothy 3, starting in verse 14, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which were able to make you wise for salvation through the faith of Jesus Christ." All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. I have a little sinus thing going on, so please bear with me. So as Paul's writing this letter, he's saying, Timothy, remember, you had a good foundation laid out by your mother and your grandmother, and they were faithful to teach you the words, teach you the gospel, teach you the good news of Jesus Christ. Teach you the plan of God's salvation and never forget where that came from. Today, we are going to be witnessing the baptism of one of our governor children. And at that time, when Chip McCauley does the baptism, he's going to ask Georgia Victoria, I'm not calling you out, but I am. He's going to ask a question to them. And one of the questions he's going to ask is, do you now unreservedly dedicate your child to God and promise in humble reliance upon divine grace that you will endeavor to set before him a godly example? That you will pray with and for him. That you will teach him the doctrines of our holy religion. And that you will strive by all means of God's appointment to bring him up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's the question they're going to ask, and they're going to say, yes, you do. That's the goal. But anyhow, I got to think about this. We're going to be witnessing this baptism, and the relationship that God has with his people. He says, all right, you, the parents, your priority one in teaching your children. I have given you, the title of my book is Yes, They Do Cover Instructions, because I remember many, many years ago when I had little ones, I would often say, well, there's no instruction book. Knowing good and well there was. Now, this doesn't tell you when you should change your diaper. It doesn't tell you when or what you should feed them. But what it does tell you is how to raise them up to love, to honor the Lord. The most important gift we can give our children is a relationship with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Or knowledge of God gives the relationship. We give them knowledge to plan you along. So, Victoria and George, for your instruction, I'm going to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, and then I'm going to leave you alone. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. You will seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasures. And you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For God, the Lord, gives wisdom. Encourage your children in the Word. Read it to them. Pray with them. Pray for them. Now, for the rest of us, we're done, right? As Victoria and Georgia showed, No, that's not it. Because we will be asked a question as a member of the congregation. The question we will be asked is, do you as a congregation undertake the responsibility of assisting the parents in Christian nurture of this child? The relationship that we put up with God is both personal, but it's also universal. We have a responsibility to other Christians to build them up, encourage them, strengthen them, support them when they are struggling, as well as we have a responsibility to non-Christians to reflect Christ in our lives, so that they can look at us and say, there's something in your life that I want. And you can say, well, let me tell you what it is. I have a Savior. I'm a sinner. I was condemned with my sins, but yet God found a way for me. He sent His Son to die on the cross so that I am restored to Him, and I will see Him one day in glory. Paul writes about these words. It's breathed out by God. These are God's words. They may be penned by man, but they're the Word of God. And they are profitable. They have value. They have great worth for teaching others, for learning for yourself, for reproof, for disciplining people. And for training for righteousness. One of the things we're doing today in the Baptist, we're saying we're going to commit ourselves to training this child. The parents have the primary responsibility, but we as a congregation, we are taking vows that say, yes, indeed, we will help any way we can, to the best of our ability, we will help this family. We will help this mother, this father, this brother, this son. We will help them grow closer to a stronger knowledge of the Lord. So how do we do that? First of all, we must rely on the Word of God, as much as we're asking the parents to rely on the Word of God. And more people, you often hear it, well, this is just written by man. It doesn't have any value. Oh, I can believe some of the things in this book, but I can't believe other things. When you do that, you start to create your own God. Now, it's fair to say, God, I don't understand some of this. Please help me along. Help me understand. But to say I can't believe it is to say you're denying God's ability to guide you. Throughout this whole book, there's wonderful words, wonderful lessons, wonderful teaching things. But the very first words that come out of the book, in the beginning, God. Now, in the beginning of what is my question? Was there ever a time there wasn't God? No. In the beginning, God wanted to establish a relationship with mankind. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the trees and the rain and the sun and the moon. And He did all this to provide a place for mankind to dwell. He created all the animals, but there was something different about man. God sculpted man out of the sand and He breathed life into him. He didn't do that with the other animals. But he did that with man. He shared something with man that he did not share with any other creation. And that was his bread. His restoring, comforting bread. Because God wants a relationship with us. And with any relationship, the only way that relationship grows is if you spend time with that other person. You know, way back when, some of us had to go way back. When you were first starting dating your husband or your wife. The very first date, you probably didn't say, okay, this is the one I won't be stuck with for the rest of my life. I know I'm using some rough language here, but it's, I don't mean it that way, but you learn to grow and know them. And with mom, the more you knew them, the more you loved them. And it's the same thing we're having with God. So we want to build a relationship with Him, and God says, I want that relationship. Here's how we get there. You have sinned. The sin of man, the sin of Adam, separated God from His creation, separated them with man. But God says, that's not the relationship I wanted. I didn't want a separate relationship. I wanted a great relationship with my people. I want them to know the love I have for them. And He could not leave us to our own devices to get there. He put it in Scripture. But not only that, He said, I'm a just God, but I demand payment for sin. And the only way I can get payment for sin is make a perfect sacrifice, and that is in my Son, Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus Christ, His death on the cross, is what restored the relationship between man and God. Because we now know that one day, if you are a believer in Christ, that you will be with Him in glory. There will be no more sin, there will be no more pain, there will be no more mourning, no more weeping. But you have to continue to build on that relationship. You can't say, well, I've read it once. I've done all I need to do. Stick with it. Stick to it. Because I personally have found throughout my life, as I've read the Scripture over and over again, there are certain times I'm like, I never saw that there again. As you grow into knowing, you're growing into relationship to God, start to see more of His will in His words. And you start to learn, oh, it's really not about me. It's about Him. So we have to grow closer to Christ, to share Christ with this covenant child that we've said we're going to do everything we can do to assist the parents. Helping them to know Christ. That's the beauty of being a Christian. You're not in it alone. Every one of us has others to support us. And how blessed that is. So we have to rely on this word. We have to grow in this word. But not only that, as a congregation, as we're saying we're going to do everything we can do to help this child, help these parents raise this child to know Christ. God looks out for us with that too. He gives each of us gifts. And it's the gifts He gives us is our responsibility to utilize them to grow the faith of others. You might be a great teacher. And it'd be your responsibility to use the gifts that you have to teach about God. You might have a pleasant voice. Sing to glorify God. You might be artistic in a manner or another. Use that with the children to grow them. What the vow that we take as a congregation, it doesn't say, yeah, I'm going to take this vow to assist the parents in Christian nurturing, except my kids are already grown, and so I don't have to do X, Y, Z. Or, I've already done that. I don't need to do that anymore. That's not the challenge that God gives us, and that's not what you're saying if you take this vow seriously. Some of the best ways we can raise the children, or excuse me, assist the parents in raising the children, is have good, strong Sunday school teachers, have people willing to teach, and other supportive staff when we have vacation Bible schools. But we have to form relationships, not just with the parents, but also with the children themselves. God is a God of relationships. Now, I might be bringing up a topic that some people might not like, but there was a book written a few years ago, and I don't support the author of the book, but the title of the book makes a lot of sense. The title of the book was It Takes a Village. And it talks about it takes a village to raise children. But the village starts at home. The mother and father working together to nurture the children to raise them up. Then it goes out from that to the immediate family, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, in-laws, outlaws, bringing them close together, again, to raise the children. Then from there, it's the people around them, where they go to church. If they play sports, the coaches should be there to grow in that. But we have taken a vow. If we say, yes, we're going to do this, and we're going to do everything we can do to support the child. And sometimes that means we have to get out of our comfort zone. And I say, well, I don't know. Oftentimes people see stuff and see things in you that you don't see in yourself. And if somebody comes to you and says, hey, I think you would be a great fill in the blank, they're not saying that because they don't want to do it. They're saying that because they see something in you. Oh, I think you would make a great Sunday school teacher. Or, oh, I think you would really work great with children's music. Or whatever the situation is. They see something in you that you often don't see in yourself. We've made a commitment. Well, we say that fast. We will do what we can do. We will honor our word by honoring God. But it all starts in this. You never not know enough not to pick up the word and read and pray. And use your gifts, whatever they are. At a minimum, pray for these children. This world has a lot to offer. And most of it's not really good. We need to pray for these children. Study the word, trust the word, have comfort in the word, but know as parents, you're not in it alone. And know as a congregation, we've made a promise. and to do our best to stick to it. But it all goes back to following the Word of God. And if you don't understand something, go to God in prayer. God, reveal to me what this means. God, strengthen me to understand. It's more than I can bear. We have the blessing of knowing because He promised, I am your Lord, your God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is there. Once you've committed to Him, He's committed to you, and He's in 100%. There might be times in your life you feel like God has not been there, but if you really look back, it's because you weren't in it 100%. God's always been. He wants so much for us. He wants it His way. Who is better at understanding than the one who created it all? Definitely not me. And I hope it don't hurt your feelings. It's not you either. It's Him. He knows. He wants. He loves. Build that relationship. The relationship reflects on the relationship with everybody else. You have a rocky God relationship, you're going to have a rocky people relationship. That's just the way it is. So trust in the Word of God. Pray for this young man and his family. And I encourage you to do whatever you can do to nurture them. For the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, how we do thank you for this time together and for your many blessings and for this covenant child. Be with him and his family as they nurture him to grow a strong relationship. And let us do everything in our ability to nurture him and his family as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, at this time, there's a baptism. I would like to introduce Jim McCauley. He's a teaching elder at Lake Chivalry Presbyterian Church over at Lake Chivalry. And he is going to be doing the baptism. And Jim is a favorite at the end of the after this hymn. If you'll do the benediction, I'd appreciate it. All right. So, Jim McCauley, thank you for joining us here. Please. If everyone would come forward and participate in this. Yes.
If you tell them the sermon, obviously it's already very well stated what's happening today. This is a day of celebration, a day of thanksgiving, and a day of joy as Pope George Victoria bring faith to be baptized. And one of the things I want you to do this morning is perhaps you also were baptized as a child like Francis being done. And you don't remember it. I don't remember mine either. But think back on the faith that your parents had in bringing you forward to have you baptized. Perhaps you were baptized after you professed faith in Christ. Remember on your baptism. Today, think about what's taking place as Banks becomes a part of the covenant family of God. Now, what's going to happen in a few moments does not save you. Baptism is not salvific in itself. We pray for the day in which he will place his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We as a church, we have the obligation, particularly this church to help Georgia Victoria in raising this child in the covenant family. So I want to say, as I clearly, this is instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a sign and seal of the covenant of grace of our engrafting in Christ, our union with Him for remission of sin, regeneration, adoption, eternal life, all the promise that we hold to. One of the things I would like to say to you, Georgia Victoria. I've heard my mother make the statement, she's still with us, she's 99 years old. What type of world is your great-grandchildren? I know y'all might even think that about fans here. One of the things that was so interesting, Alice Davis, a friend of ours who lives in Tennessee, she is in an assisted living. She actually posted this on Facebook not too long ago, and I want to share this with you guys, as well as the congregation, about what we're doing this day and time, raising children in this time of uncertainty. This is what was posted, the author is unknown. It says, don't feel sorry for or fear for your kids or your grandkids, because the world they are going to grow up in is not what it used to be. God created them and called them for the exact moment in time that they're in. Their life wasn't a coincidence or accident. Raise them up to know the power they walk in as children of God. Train them up in the authority of His Word. Teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is in control. Empower them to know they can change the world. Don't teach them to be fearful and disheartened by the state of the world, but hopeful that they can do something about it. Every person in all of history has been placed in the time that they were in the time they were in because of God's sovereign plan. Because of God's plan, Daniel could handle the lions. Because of God's plan, David could handle Goliath. Because of God's plan, Esther could handle David. Because of God's plan, Peter could handle persecution. Because of God's plan, your child can handle whatever challenge they face in their life. He created you specifically for such a time as this. Don't be scared for your children, but be honored that God chose you to parent a generation that's facing the biggest challenges in our lifetime. Raise up to the challenge. Raise Daniels, Davids, Esthers, and Peters. God isn't scratching His head wondering what He's going to do with this mess of the world. He has an army He's raising up to drive back the darkness and make His known all over the earth. Don't let your feet still the greatness God has placed in you. I know it's hard to imagine there's anything besides our sweet little babies. We just won't protect them from anything that could ever be horrible. But they were born for such a time as this. Yes, for the promises for you and for your children, for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to us to know. Promise that God has made that I'll establish my covenant between me, you, and your offspring, and after you, throughout the generations, for an everlasting covenant be God to you and to your offspring in your so will you please join me in prayer? Father God, as we take these couple moments to observe the sacrament of baptism, may we examine our hearts. Remember the time in which we were baptized in the faith that our parents had in bringing us forward. Father, there's one sitting here this morning that has not trusted your Lord and Savior. They have not been baptized. May they contemplate this sacrament. We celebrate as the body of Christ. And we give you and you alone all the honor and all of the glory. For it's in Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. I have a helpful question. You acknowledge your child's need of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and the renewing grace of the Holy Spirit. Do you claim God's covenant promises in His behalf? And do you look in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation as you do for your own? Do you now unreservedly dedicate your child to God and promise a humble reliance upon divine grace? Do you pray with and for Him? He will teach him the doctrines of our holy religion, and he will strive by all the means of God's appointment to bring him up and nurture and admonition. You as a congregation, undertake the responsibility of assisting the parents in Christian nurture of this child.
Thanks. I know you all know me, buddy. So, grandchildren.
One boy and a
girl. Oh, of course.
Thanks, McCoy Bolton. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this time of the day, this morning, and we bring thanks to this time of that to pray again that we would support him as he grows, as he matures, help us to teach him, lead him, and show him the way that you wish him out for. Father, we thank you for all children. They are a special blessing. Thank you for each one. Lord, we begin to thank you for this time together. May we work together. Many thanks to care to his own definition, who's the best in the place and stop it. Cross the end of prayer.
At this time, let's open up our hymnals to group 137. Let us stand, sing, tell me the story of Jesus. Sorry.